Hey Siri, what are your hottest takes?
Nando's is overrated, it's just chicken. I could cook it at home, they even sell the sauce in Testers. Like, I could literally make that myself. So why would I pay like 20 quid for basically chicken and chits?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Cats are better than dogs. Seriously, just don't at me on that one. Why would I want to follow you around a park picking up your litter? That's not fun for anyone. Crocs are actually phenomenally fashionable, as well as being intensely comfortable. Even if you disagree that they are fashionable, you should agree that they should be. Heaven, hell, and other hot takes.
Well, good evening, everyone. I think the applause was not for me, it was for Matt Miles, who has... Okay. Matt Miles, that was his debut trailer. That was his very first trailer that he's done. You can tell it's Matt Miles because it's like a surrealist piece of art. And Metro would just not be the same without him. But we are doing a series on hot takes. It's not about Nando's, it's not about cats and dogs, but it's about the difficult questions that we face. There's certain things in the Bible, there's certain things in Christian teaching, which are difficult. They're unusual, or they're a little bit esoteric. They can be controversial, they can be confusing. And very often what we do is we tend to just brush them under the carpet, or we don't talk about them too much. But what we want to do in this series is we want to wrestle and tackle with them head on. The thing is that if you're not a church person, if you're not sure about faith, if you're maybe a little bit on the outside looking in, you can take some of these issues and they put you right off Christianity, because you think, how can any sane, rational person in full grasp of their marbles believe this kind of stuff? And you write it off. But you can also be a believer, and you think, actually, I'm not sure about these kinds of things. I'm not sure what to make of this. And sometimes you think, well, it's part of the package. We have to believe it. It's how we were brought up. It's how I've come to faith. But I just don't know, and so I don't want to think about it. I'm not so sure. So what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is that we're going to go through heaven, hell, and other hot takes. We're going to give us a little view on what we see the Bible teaching. Now, there's one big principle that I need you to get here in Studio Church, in the pop-ups, online, at home. And this is the principle. It actually comes from Paul. Paul, the original kind of guy in the church writing letters to the early Christians, he writes a letter to a church in Philippi. It's called Philippians. And he says to them this. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. He's just been giving some teaching. He says, every mature Christian should take such a view on things. But if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And this is the principle. The principle is this. It's okay to think differently. Everyone say, it's okay to think differently. Sometimes Christians can get super uptight about every last little jot of the scripture and their understanding about it and their kind of orthodoxy. And if you don't agree exactly with what they say on certain things, then you're wrong or you're evil or you've got it totally out of order. Actually, Paul was way more relaxed about this. He says, it's okay if you think differently on some of these things. It's okay. I trust that God will make things clear to you, and I trust that God will make clear things to me in good time. That's not the focus. Essentially, this is the principle. You can think differently as long as you live differently. Think differently as long as you live differently. As long as you live differently. So Paul basically says, listen, there's going to be some things which are above your pay grade. There's going to be some things which are going to be too difficult. They're outside of our frame of reference. We are not equipped to deal with this. We are finite, mortal, ordinary human beings with a limited understanding and limited perception. Some stuff you're just not going to get. The Bible says that we know in part. We see in part. We don't have all of the information because some stuff, it's not right or necessary for us to fully know everything and to focus on those things. We've got other fish to fry. But what Paul does say is he says, live up to what you've already attained. Live up to what you've got so far. I want you to not worry too much about every last bit of belief and doctrine, but I do want you to worry about loving your neighbor as yourself, giving to the poor, living sacrificially, worship, community, praise, grace, forgiveness, all these things. And very often Christians can get very much on a high horse about certain things of you've got to believe this, believe exactly that, believe exactly this, on matters which are peripheral, but they miss out on the grand calling that Jesus has given us to live radically different lives. So these are our hot takes. You can think differently. It's not like this is official Metro, the line that we're drawing, you have to go along with it. It's okay to think differently. And as a Christian, I'm always wanting to be stretched, and I'm always wanting to be challenged, and I'm always wanting to hear from God, but I'm always wanting to look at the Bible because I want to see what Scripture says. And so in many ways, this series is as much about how we read the Bible as it is about the topics that we are considering. So tonight, we're going to look at the topic of hell. Now ask yourself this question. When was the last time you heard a message about... So, did I say hell? Yeah. I'm so excited about hell, I can't wait. No, we're going to do heaven. Tonight, look, let's do that again, okay? Just... Tonight, we're going to do a message about heaven. Woo! Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard a message about heaven? Because for many of us, we haven't heard anyone talk about heaven since we were kids and your goldfish died. And your mum said, now little Toby, Goldie, has gone to heaven to be with grandma. And you imagine your little goldfish on a cloud, maybe in a bowl on a cloud. And you have that kind of idea. And for so many of us, heaven is this kind of idea that I go to heaven when I die. You're going to go to heaven when you die. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you're here, you've been brought by a friend, or you maybe just got curious about faith over these last few months, it's one of those things that you think, really? Do you really believe that stuff? Because I can go for all the love your neighbor and make a difference in the world and build community, and there's something beautiful about that. But all this stuff about going and living on a cloud, even what Emily said at the beginning of the worship about singing, we're going to sing and we're never going to stop and we're never going to stop. For many Christians, that's how we kind of imagine it. You're on a cloud, you're dressed in one of these kind of super embarrassing hospital nightgowns. Everything's hanging out at the back. You've got your harp. And it's just like a worship special that just won't stop for millions and millions of years. You have to ask yourself the question, is this what the Bible teaches? Because best case scenario, you're a Christian here and you think, I'm not sure about that. It doesn't sound super engaging, but I trust God. I don't know about heaven and the Bible doesn't give me all the details. I'm just trusting God that it's going to be okay. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. I don't need to know all the details. And that's fine. But on the other side of the picture, it may be that you feel about heaven something which actually demotivates you. You think, well, I don't see that as a compelling vision. And if that's the case, then you're missing out on one of the biggest things in the Christian experience, and that is Christian hope. Everyone say Christian hope. Christian. We're supposed to be a people of hope. We're supposed to be motivated by hope. We're supposed to have a hope that drives us forward. And if you don't understand what Christian hope is all about, you're going to miss a vital ingredient in your Christian life. And that is why we're tackling these kind of topics that are hard to understand. Now, one last thing to say before we get into this scripture is that when the Bible talks about these things, the reason that they are hard topics or controversial and they require hot takes is that we're talking about things that are outside our realm of experience. We're talking about things which are by very nature supernatural. We're talking about things that we literally don't have the brain processing power to comprehend. They are so far above our pay grade. And so what the Bible does is it gives us metaphors and stories and pictures. It's saying, it's a bit like this, but not quite. It's a bit like that, but, you know, kind of. Nothing can quite explain or express the glory and the wonder of all that God has for us, but this will give you a little bit of a try. And so we're going to look at metaphors, we're going to look at stories, we're going to look at images, and we're going to tease out what the Bible has to say. You can think differently. It's okay. You have my permission to think differently. And in the hubs, we'll talk about it. I'll give you a couple book recommendations. You'll be fine. But here is my hot take. Because I can sense that some of you here in the studio and at home and in the pop-ups, you're kind of saying, Philip, you're stalling. You're stalling. What is your hot take on heaven? Okay, you want it?
Yeah.
Here's my hot take. You are not going to heaven when you die, and neither am I. I'm not going to go to heaven when I die, and neither are you. That, I believe, is what the Bible talks about heaven. Heaven is not a place you go to when you die. You are not going to go to heaven when you die, at least not in the way that you are thinking. Now, before you panic too much, we're actually going to spread this out over two Sundays. This is part one, and by the end time we get to part two, it's going to all come together. But right now, you just need to understand what the Bible actually talks about when it talks about heaven. And we're going to look at Scripture, because hope for the Christian is such a big deal that the whole of the New Testament is peppered with talk about the Christian hope, with talk about what we have to look forward to, with talk about what God has prepared for us. So we're going to look at just three verses, but we're going to go back to that letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, where he says, it's okay to think differently as long as you live differently. And what we're going to do is we're just going to carry on where we left off and read a little bit and see what Paul had to say and what that tells us about heaven. So Paul goes on and he writes this. He says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven." So Paul talks about heaven. He contrasts two different people. People that have an earthly mindset, all of their thinking is around the here, the now, the material, the physical. And those that have a deep-rooted understanding that I am a citizen of heaven. Their citizenship is in heaven. If you want to understand this, we need to talk a little bit and unpack what the Bible is saying here and who it's saying it to. Because what we've got is we've got a letter to the Philippian church, and you need to understand about Philippi, the city where the church is based that Paul is writing to. Because if you want to understand the Bible correctly, you have to understand who it was written to, how it was written, how they understood it, what it meant to them, what kind of in-jokes and in-language is being used, and then we apply it to our own world. So let's get Philippi on the map. If we get our map here, this is the ancient Near East, the Mediterranean basin, rather. So you've got Rome over there in Italy, just to the kind of the west. And then you've got Philippi. Philippi is in northern Greece. It would take you around about 1,000 miles journey across Greece and then jump on a boat, cross the sea, get to Rome a little bit later. In the ancient world, it would take you about 3 months to get from Rome to Philippi. But Philippi was formed 100 years before this letter is written. What happened is that there's this great battle. It's the big Roman civil war after the death, the assassination of Julius Caesar. And after years of fighting, these two factions come together and they clash in Philippi. Philippi is the last great major battle of the Roman Civil War. And you've got the forces of Mark Antony and Octavian, and they come against Brutus and Cassius et tu, Brute, the assassinators of Julius Caesar. And eventually, Mark Antony and Octavian are victorious. Octavian becomes Augustus Caesar. And what you've got is you've got a united Roman Empire now. It's come under one rule. It's come under the rule of Caesar Augustus. He is one. He is now someone who styles himself as the savior of the world. He's brought peace to the world. He is Lord of all. And what he does is he has now in Philippi, in the Philippi region, 200,000 Roman troops. Armed and dangerous, battle-hardened and ready, but with nothing to do. And the last thing that he wants to do is bring this vast army into Rome itself, because before you know it, there'll be another coup, another general, and he'll lose his position. And so what he does is he says, we are going to make Philippi a Roman colony. And we're going to make all you veterans, all you soldiers, these 200,000, we're going to make you citizens of Rome. But you'll be citizens of Rome based in Philippi. And Philippi was known as the Little Rome. And so now, 100 years later, in the time when Paul is writing, you've got this city of Philippi. It's Little Rome. And it's full of Roman citizens. Most of them are Roman citizens, but some of them are not. And what you've got is you've got a piece of Rome at the heart of Greece. It's in northern Greece. And so you've got people who are Greeks who've been there generation upon generation upon generation. They speak Greek. But now they've got this metropolitan elite, these Roman citizens who are better paid and they own more and they speak Latin and they have the culture of Rome. And they had a very big, strong sense of identity. And what the Roman citizenship did for them is it gave them two things. First of all, it gave them identity. Everyone say identity. And then secondly, it gave them hope. Everyone say hope. Someone write hope in the comments. You had an identity. My identity is I am a citizen of Rome. My hope is if we are in trouble, if we are persecuted, if the barbarian tribes in the north come and attack our city, we can send for help to Rome itself, and Rome will come with all its military might, and they will save us. We have a full-grown, established, rational hope of salvation in the future. And Roman citizens in Philippi, they had an identity that said, yes, I'm living in Greece, but I'm a citizen of Rome. I have rights and privileges that make me the envy of people in the ancient world. And my job is to bring the culture of Rome to where I am and to expand its borders. I want to see Roman art and Roman laws, and I want to see Roman poetry and Roman thinking. I want to see all of the trappings of Rome brought to where I am. That's who I am. That's my identity. Sure, I'm in Greece, but my identity is I'm a citizen of Rome with all the perks that that entails. And so when Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi, he uses the same language and instantly they get it. He says, listen, heaven is about a citizen. You are a citizen of heaven. You have heaven as your prime identity. It's your premium way that you find your value and your purpose in life. You can be two kinds of people. Either you can have a focus on earthly things, your mind is on earthly things, or you live as a citizen of heaven. And citizens of heaven know that we are here colonizing planet Earth to bring peace and light and love and grace and mercy, to bring back justice for all, to love and care for the planet, to raise up and nurture those who are needy and those who are marginalized. We have all of those things as our focus. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, let me just show you something. When the Bible talks about heaven, it talks about it in a different way to the way that we normally talk about heaven. When we talk about heaven, we think about earth is over here, Heaven is over there. And we are in earth, and we will go to heaven when we die. But the Bible never talks about that. That's not Jewish thought. That's actually Greek thought. Greek thought was, we are in this earthy existence, and we long to be released from it so that we can be set free from this cage of a grubby body. We want to have this meat sack that just allows us to fly away from the physical realm, and we want to go and live in the eternal, ethereal, spiritual, glorious light dimension. And the Greek thinking was very much physical bad, spiritual good. But the biblical thinking, Jewish thinking, is that actually heaven is just another dimension. So these playing cards, this is a pack of playing cards. This is a pack of playing cards. These cards are in three dimensions. They've got width and length and height. But if I take just one card from the pack, this card basically is two-dimensional. Two-dimensional. So the writing and the drawing on this card, it can only move in flat world. It's two-dimensional. But the 3D world isn't over here somewhere else, totally divorced. What it is the 3D world is all around. So this card in 2D is just surrounded by the 3D space. And the 2D card cannot possibly comprehend what a 3D existence looks like, but yet that 3D life is all around it. And essentially, with Scripture, we're talking about heaven being the dimension where God lives, the dimension, the domain where God operates and has his being, a spiritual dimension. But like two dimensions to three dimensions, our dimension to the heavenly spiritual dimension, it's the same kind of thing. Heaven is literally all around us. Heaven envelops us. We can't see it, we can't perceive it. No more than a two-dimensional object can perceive three dimensions. It's just outside its frame of reference. It's conceptually impossible for it. But when we talk about heaven, the Bible will often say that sometimes people would pray and their eyes would be open and they see this new dimension and it's all around. Suddenly there's angelic forces and angelic beings and spiritual reality all around. It's just that we don't see it. It's not that heaven is somewhere that we go to when we die. It's that heaven is God's sphere, and it is literally all around us. It is greater than the experience that we have right now. And so for Paul, he says this. He says, their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await to go there and leave this world behind. Except, of course, he didn't say that at all. He didn't say we eagerly await to go there and leave this world behind. He said we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the deal. We don't go to heaven when we die, but one day heaven will come to us. When Paul's talking to these Philippian Roman citizens, they didn't have the idea that one day I want to go and live in Rome because I'm a citizen of Rome. No, it was the opposite. In fact, you didn't want to live in Rome because it was overcrowded and you couldn't get a job. But you wanted to have all of Rome come and make your world, your place, your location, your city better. You felt that that was the best way that you could have the best kind of life, that Rome would come to you. That when you were in difficulty, when you were challenged, that Rome would come and put things right. But in the meantime, I'm still a citizen of heaven. And so Paul is saying, it's not about what I'm looking to go to, it's about how I'm looking heaven to come to me. Next week, we're going to look a little bit more about that. Because trust me, it gets only more wonderful. But here's the thing. If Jesus is going to come to earth, if he's going to come from heaven to us, what is he going to do? And this is where Paul gets really, really exciting. And this is where I want us to land. He says this, But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform. Everyone say transform. Our lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. The whole hope, the Christian hope of heaven, is not that we go there when we die, although there is stuff and we will come on to that. But the hope of heaven is that one day Jesus is going to bring heaven down to us. And Jesus, when he comes in heaven, when heaven and earth are fused together, we're going to experience a transformation. When I gave my life to Jesus, even though I live in a two-dimensional flat world, spiritually speaking, he, as I submitted my life to him, he came in and he made me alive with Christ. My sins were forgiven. I'm forgiven and set free from the consequences of my own brokenness. And as I make him my Lord, I swear my allegiance to King Jesus. He makes me spiritually alive. Now there's a part of heaven and it's burning within me. Now I have a part of me that can interact and know God and hear him speak and see the miraculous and touch the sublime and the supernatural. But one day it is all going to be fulfilled. And the Bible says that this is our hope. This is what we're working towards. Jesus is going to come back and Jesus is going to transform. He's going to transform us and he's going to transform our world. This is what biblical hope is. It's transformation, not evacuation. Transformation, not evacuation. Now, if I told you that in the UK, Boris Johnson has a plan to beat coronavirus, and he says this plan is basically, we're going to beat coronavirus, the world is littered with this virus, the UK is just filthy and rife with this virus, so what we're going to do, blah, 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 is we're going to just evacuate. We're going to abandon the British Isles, and we're all going to live on the bottom of the ocean in pods. We're going to speak dolphin, high-pitched squeals and clicks, and there'll be no corona, there'll be no virus, it'll be totally clean, totally quarantined, and by that, we will defeat the virus. You... Wrong. You live with the dolphins. You wouldn't say, well, that's a great plan. You'd say, but just because right now I can't go out, just because now I can't meet my friends, just because now I can't do all the things that I used to do, doesn't mean the answer is just to abandon it and go and start in some pod on the bottom of the ocean. That's not a win. The win is that what is broken is made whole again. And what has become messed up is redeemed and transformed, that God will change our lives and God will change our world. And we look, even now in the experience that we're having, we look for someone to come and help eradicate this virus from us so that we can go back to the experience that we had. Because the experience that we had wasn't bad, it wasn't wrong, it wasn't evil, it wasn't dirty, it wasn't grubby. Sure, it was broken. Sure, there was issues. Sure, there were problems. But we would like to go to something where we have all those things that we want as human beings. Connection and joy and parties and togetherness and all of those good things. But we want a better world. We want not just to come out of lockdown and everything is exactly the way it was. We want justice. We want black lives to matter. We want better work-life balance. We want more equitable society. We want things to be better. This is Christian hope. Not that we're evacuated, that God's grand plan is that he creates the world and it's a beautiful paradise. It's wonderful and human beings created in his image. And then we get broken and we rebel and we mess up and we make mistakes. And so God just says, well, forget that. Let's screw up the earth, throw it away, and let's go and live in the clouds. And you can have him practice for billions and billions of years. No, God's plan is transformation. I love the fact that Paul says he's going to transform our lowly basic bodies, to be like his glorious body. My future is a resurrection body. My future is multidimensional. My future is to be like Jesus, who could be eating and drinking with his disciples. He could be walking by the shore. He could be joking, and he could be just relating to those that he loved. And at the same time, he's gone. He can move through walls. He can do things that just defy imagination. He's somehow more, just like a deck of cards is more than one single card. It's not something totally different, and yet it is something so much more wonderful. It's like all the good things in the world, all the wonder, all the joy, all the perfect ideal situations, all that's transcendent and elevating, that lifts us and just delights us, all of that is folded in on heaven and expanded into a whole nother exponential dimension. My future is glorious. My future is actually redemption. It's not a disembodied existence, but it's something which is like what we have, but a billion times more glorious, more wonderful. And that means if I live with that kind of hope, I'm motivated to do what I can. That's why we as a church, we do what we do, because we believe that God wants to bring transformation, not evacuation, to planet Earth. We believe that he wants to change the lives of men and women, and that's why we serve our city. We want as many people. And if you're here on the outside looking in, or your faith is a bit shaky, or you're trying to just dabble your toes back into the waters of faith again, you just need to know that the whole reason we are here is that God has ignited within our hearts a belief and a hope of transformation. We're not looking to evacuate. We're looking to transform. So I'm going to pray. And what I would like to pray is I'd like to pray and extend an invitation to people. For some of you, you've been waiting for weeks for me to give you this invitation, but I'm going to give you an invitation right now to become a citizen of heaven, to do what I did when I was just young, when I got down on my knees, and I said, God, if you love me so much that you sent your very own son, you yourself became a human being, that you lived for me and you died for me, you rose again. If that's true, I want in. I know I'm broken. I know I'm messed up. I know I don't deserve any of this, but I believe that you offer forgiveness, and so I want in. I want to become a citizen of heaven. Come into my life. And I prayed that prayer, and I knew that something had happened. I knew that now I will never die. I knew that I am an eternal being that gets to be with God. Now, how that works, I just can't comprehend it. I don't have the equipment to understand it, but I do know that it's real. Why? Because I've experienced heaven on earth. I've had a little bit, and I want more. And I'm going to give you the invitation to do the very same thing that I did, just to pray a simple prayer. If you like, it's A, B, C. You can do this at home. A, you admit that you are broken or that you need God, that you've messed up. The Bible calls it sin. It's just falling short of the standards that you have for yourself. B, you believe that God loves you. You believe that he loves you and that he came to live and die and rise again from the dead for you. And then C, you commit your life to him. You say, Lord God, I want you to be in charge of my life going forward. So we're going to pray that prayer. But first, let me give you the big idea. And this is it. Our citizenship is in heaven, not earth. And that changes everything about our identity and our hope. We don't go to heaven. Heaven comes to us. It's transformation, not evacuation. Now, we're going to carry this stuff on next week. But right now, I'm going to invite you, wherever you are, pop-ups, studio, at home, just to pray with me. Maybe you're a Christian, but really over the last few weeks, months, it's all just the colors drained out of your Christian experience. You've kind of lost your way, and now's the time for you to come back. Or maybe you've been just circling around this for a little while. Now's the time for you to jump in. But if you want Then I just invite you to pray this prayer with me. I'll pray it a little bit at a time, and I'll pray it so that you can hear it and then just echo my words in your own mind. And then I'm going to ask you if you prayed it, and I'm going to pray for you. So let's pray together. Let's just have our eyes closed wherever we are. Father God, help us now. Okay, here's the prayer. You pray this along with me to commit or recommit yourself to Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I offer my life to you today. You know my life. You know where I'm at. You know the ways in which I have messed up. I don't deserve your love or your mercy, but I thank you that you gave them to me all the same. Please forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me. Come to live inside of me. Make me a citizen of heaven. I give my life to you right now, this moment. Everything that I have, I lay at your feet. I don't understand it all, but I know enough to take a leap of faith. Would you help me now? Would you come into my life? Would you put your Spirit upon me and make me alive with Christ? I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to ask you to keep your eyes closed, but if you prayed that prayer, I just want you to put your hand up where you are. If you're in the studio, I can see you. Thank you. Others of you, just put your hand up. Someone else in the pop-up will see you. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. Anyone else? You can do this at home, and we'll happily get in touch with you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Father, I want to pray for every single individual that's prayed. Lord, I pray for these here in Studio Church. I pray for those in pop-ups and those at home. I pray, Lord God, right now, by the Spirit of the living God, you would come upon them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray that they would know that they have passed from death to life and that they have a glorious, majestic future. Lord, would you do that right now? And Lord, I pray for the rest of us that we would carry within us the hope of heaven, citizens of heaven, that bring your reality and your power and your world to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.